North Korea's missile test over Japan is spooking markets this morning. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. North Korea tested a shorter-range missile by firing it over northern Japan. Japan's prime minister is calling now for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council. While stock markets in Asia were down moderately, Japan's Nikkei index fell 0.5% today. European stock markets are down even more sharply. The DAX index in Frankfurt is now down 1.8%. The key index in London down 1.1%. U.S. stock markets are now open, where we find the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 64.3%. S&P down 0.5%. The NASDAQ Composite down 0.6%. Treasuries are up. 10-year yield is down at 2.11%. We're also tracking a longer-term trend today. There's news that mutual funds and exchange-traded funds that focus on U.S. stocks saw $2.6 billion pulled out in the fourth week of August. That's been the trend this summer. Bank of America Merrill Lynch, which tracks this, says $30 billion have been pulled from these funds for 10 straight weeks. That's the longest stretch in 13 years for this. Let's check in on this with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York.
The flows out of mutual funds in particular, so stock mutual funds investors seem to be taking money out of it. It's been not even just the summer, really for the larger part of the year, investors have been taking cash out of stocks.
Now, is this because, all right, they made enough money, it's been a long bull run, maybe it's time to ease back on the ratio of stocks, or are people looking to, for instance, the underlying U.S. economy?
Well, I think that it would make sense if consumers were saying, you know, after such a long rally, the risks are more for a correction than another 10% gain and are becoming a little bit more cautious. They're also behaving a little bit more cautiously. We've seen consumer spending be, you know, it's fine. Consumers have money to spend and they're spending it, but they're extremely price sensitive and bargain oriented, and they're not expressing the kind of exuberance that we've seen in markets. So really, the whole stock market rally this year hasn't been what you might call a mom-and-pop-driven rally. It's more technical in nature.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you, Julia.
My pleasure.
Crude oil is down another 0.5% in New York trading right now, $46.34 a barrel, as the effects of the tropical storm continue to rain down on Houston and beyond. Ed Herz is an energy fellow at the University of Houston. He's lucky enough to be on the third floor of a Houston apartment that's on relatively higher ground. Mr. Herz, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
What are you hearing about the refineries in that region?
You know, fortunately, the refineries have not been hit as hard as, say, the refineries were during Katrina. The challenge here is that while each of these refineries was designed to take a storm and a flood, the entire Gulf Coast wasn't designed to take a storm and a flood at the same time. And so we've lost about 3 million barrels a day of current production of refined products.
And as these bands of heavy rain increasingly extend from Texas into Louisiana, we'll want to keep an eye on the Port Arthur refinery right at that Texas-Louisiana border. I think that's the biggest refinery in the country.
Yes, the Motiva refinery was going to go offline, I believe, last evening because they had some flooding across some of the sour water pumps in the plant. In effect, what's happening is these plants are being taken out of service for the safety of the employees and to keep the equipment operational. You know, thankfully, there's not been such a storm surge with Harvey that these plants have been knocked off their foundations, such as we saw with Katrina. The Citgo refinery in Corpus Christi plans to restart tomorrow.
What's your sense? You've been watching this closely. What about longer-term damage to this petroleum infrastructure?
I don't think there is any longer-term damage. The interruption is going to be, you know, 4 weeks to 8 weeks at most. The refineries, the petrochemical complex along the Gulf Coast can restart as soon as the weather clears. Supply lines have not been totally disrupted. The distribution is in place. And this is really important because those paychecks will keep going to the employees. The employees are the ones that have suffered the devastation. Their homes, their lives, their churches, their schools, their facilities, those all need to be rebuilt. And the industrial complex will pay for that.
Ed Herz, Energy Fellow at the University of Houston, thank you for the briefing.
You're welcome.
Hey, it's David Brancaccio. We wanted to let you know that this Midday Update podcast feed will be shutting down Tuesday, September 5th. But not to worry, you can get all your morning business news by subscribing to the main Marketplace Morning Report podcast. That's where you can listen to the Midday Update and a brand new global business edition of the Morning Report that we're producing with help from our friends at the BBC World Service. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast so you don't miss a thing. And thank you. The medical term is triage, deciding who gets treatment first based on the severity of the problem. It's a similar principle in the Texas flood zone rescuers trying to identify the most vulnerable residents. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein.
During the storm, University of Texas professor Lex Frieden watched the water crest over the engines of the family cars. Frieden, who is in a wheelchair, has few options if he wanted to leave his home right now, but he's lucky. His generator works.
We will discover in the days going forward many, many people who we didn't know were there, who have needs, who've been overlooked, who before hadn't been identified.
The mayor's Office for People with Disabilities is working on that. They already have a list of 250,000 residents who are registered with the office, and now they're holding a daily call to arrange help if necessary. For medically fragile individuals who need electricity for devices like ventilators and infusion pumps, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services' Kristen Finn says they've got a map.
That can help pre-plan as well as potentially conduct life-saving outreach.
Finn says her office has sent names and addresses of 88,000 people to local health workers who are planning for any medical needs in shelter spaces. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Companies big and small are piling into medical treatments based on stem cells, a kind of human cell that can differentiate into all sorts of things, from organs to knee cartilage. But now the Food and Drug Administration is stepping up oversight of what has become a bit of a Wild West. Among other things, the FDA is now cracking down on companies peddling iffy or fraudulent stem cell treatments. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.